Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We're so blessed that you're joining us. As we witness tensions continue to escalate across the Middle East, many people now are starting to wonder, are these the end times as described in the Bible? Now, you've heard me interview many people on this topic, and almost to a person, the answer is yes. Now, on the topic of when, that's where they begin to differ. But the main point is, we are already in the end times. We see Israel at war with Hamas, and instead of supporting Israel's right to defend itself and eliminate the threat from within their borders forever, the world's condemning Israel. Some even condone the attacks of October 7th, saying Hamas was defending itself against aggression. Add in the Houthi rebels threatening international shipping and the United States trying to defend the ships by attacking Iranian-backed rebels. And add in the recent drone attacks by Iranian-backed militia in Jordan. I mean, this was identified several months ago by President Biden and the Defense Department as a red line that should not be crossed. Well, they crossed it, and then nothing happened. All of these tensions are linked back to Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, etc. Is the United States about to go to war against Iran? Against Israel? Who, you know, we see recently that, you know, now they've given Israel a red line. What does the Bible have to say about all this? Well, to answer all of this and more, we have our good friend Dr. Richard Ruling back to join us today. Dr. Ruling is a frequent guest on our program as we discuss end time scenarios, and you can go back in our archives and listen to some of the profound things he's identified before. In fact, he predicted the United States would be at war with Iraq before 9/11 even happened. Amen? So perhaps we need to pay attention to what he's sharing with us and with the world today. He's also the author of a great new book, How It All Ends, which describes some of the things we'll be discussing today. Help me welcome back to the program, Dr. Richard Ruling. Dr. Ruling, it's a blessing to have you back on and sharing with us today.
Brother Bob, Pastor Bob, I really appreciate you. I appreciate your enthusiasm for the Word of God and for your ministry. And I'm thinking, even before I get started, because I don't know how much time we get toward the end, but I'm sending you some books. And for people that make a $10 donation, the first half dozen people that send you the $10 donation, you can send them a book in appreciation for it. It's about what's coming up, I think, later this month starting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's relevant to the times, and look forward to dealing with your audience might help me with a title of a new book that I've just written a book and started to publish it. And then I thought maybe a different title would be better. I called it The End Time Book, How Christ Makes Us Ruler Over All That He Has If We Get the Luke's Wedding Parable Right. Mm-hmm. But as I woke up thinking about it, I'm thinking of a different title called The End Time Book of Surprises, How We Can Be Part of the Kingdom Where Christ's Disciples Failed. And amen. I thought for today's discussion, we might look at a half a dozen topics of how things happen through the scriptures, and because they do offer some surprises or interest, and then why God can't hit us every time we do the wrong thing at the end. So anyway, that's the topic, and I'll give it back to you now.
Amen, amen. Well, you know, I mean, we've been talking about Israel, the end times, and all that for a couple of years now, and we've seen it progress exactly. I mean, I get asked all the time, you know, do you think this is the what the Bible's talking about, the end days? I goes, well, if it's not, it sure is close.
On that topic, I believe that coming events cast their shadow before. So we're getting an idea of what's coming. God doesn't leave us totally in the dark. And we're seeing a lot of shadows right now. And we're about to hit it hard, I think.
Yeah, amen, amen. I mean, we see, the continuing escalation, I guess you'd call it, of animosity against Israel here in the United States and across the world, and to me it all points right back to what the Bible says will happen in the last. I
Yes,
mean, the
exactly.
Bible told us what was going to happen, and we see it. Amen. So,
Amen. Amen.
I mean, Amos himself, in Amos 3:7 said God won't do anything without first revealing it to the prophets. What else does God share with us about that day and time that we're living in right now?
Well, on that very topic of what he wants revealed, I believe the next verse is about it, okay? And I've asked many teachers and preachers and so on, do you know the next verse? Well, they need to look it up. I did find one man, head of a theology, who knew something about a lion's roar. And yes, Christ is the Lion of Judah in Revelation 5:5, and Joel 3:16 says the lion has roared. I'm sorry. It says the Lord will roar, the heavens and earth will shake. So that's about an earthquake, really, encoded as a lion's roar, and the lion's roar is encoded in Revelation. So when you see about a lion's roar, you think earthquake, okay? But even before we get to that, there's some other things we want to cover today, and I just want to maybe I sent you a half a dozen topics on how. The first one is how we've been missing the gospel of the kingdom,
Yep. Amen.
and.
That was my next question.
Okay, well, the point is that Christ in Mark 1:15 announced, he says that the time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe the gospel. And I believe that his disciples were really after it. They wanted to be part of that kingdom. And if you remember, James and John came with their mother and they wanted to be on the left and right in his kingdom when it was set up. And he said, "Can you drink of the cup that I drink of?" And I'm getting ahead of myself, I think. Let me get back to the gospel. I wanted to say that the gospel is really good spell or good word or good news. And I think we've been missing the good news of the kingdom because preachers today have they give it in a general way, maybe, or they'll just say the main thing you need is a relationship with Jesus, and it's just have a relationship. That's the only thing that counts. My point is that he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." That's in Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4. Interesting, able to remember it that way. But are we really living by every word? I have to admit, I don't. There's an awful lot of words in the Bible that I don't understand. But I'm focused on what I think is important and coming next. And I want to deal with the gospel as an example in the Bible, how we've missed gospel. God declares the end from the beginning, and one of the first things in the book of beginnings is the flood. And Noah had the gospel. It's just that the people
Amen.
in that day didn't really, they thought he was crazy, so it didn't seem like good news to them. And so to really understand the gospel, we have to have faith. We have to believe what God said in order to see it as gospel or good news. And that was for Noah. But
And
similarly, go ahead.
for with the concerning, for some it's good news, some it's bad news.
Yeah.
And with
Well,
Noah, it was, good news for Noah and his family as long as he believed.
I believe that he invited anybody in that wanted to come, but they were all afraid of what laughter and how didn't want to look crazy because they thought surely Noah was crazy. Hadn't rained yet. Okay. The scientists of their day said can't happen. Okay. Well, the
Amen.
scientists, yeah.
Amen.
I believe scientists today see a lot more coming, or they don't know when, and the Bible knows when, in my opinion.
Yeah,
So,
amen. And that takes me to the next question. Judgment is coming,
Yeah,
right? The time of
right.
judgment's here. And that's your next chapter, correct?
Okay. Let me finish out real quick. Just I'm going back to the first topic, the gospel of the kingdom, because Noah had gospel for his day. Abraham had gospel. God was going to give him some land, but his parents thought he was crazy too, to go to a place they'd never seen and don't. That's wild. Okay, and then Moses comes along with gospel. It was freedom from slavery and a promised land. Going to the promised land. How could that be when they were really in bonds to the biggest nation in the world? And they could get killed if they tried to rebel. But God did it. He made Pharaoh look stupid, and his chariots were under the Red Sea. And I've even seen pictures on YouTube, chariot wheels under the Red Sea. It proves that the Bible has got a true story there. Anyway, all of those had gospel, but they all paled compared to Christ. They were going to a promised land, but went through the wilderness. Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," and so it sounds even better. And my point is that and he had the gospel really was freedom from the power and penalty of sin. He canceled the penalty on the cross, and it also gives us power to live better. If we're not afraid to die, we can do that. We have to die daily. Paul said, "I die daily." Okay, so die to self, and we can live well forever with him, basically. I believe that. The point is, though, that I think we have a better gospel still, because it includes all of those. All of the above is included in what we've just we can have. Christ said, as it was in the days of Noah, we're going to see similar events somehow,
Amen.
and we'll get to that later. But the point is that promised land, yes, and freedom from bondage, etc. So that finishes the first topic, man. And now the question comes to the second one. How does God declare the end from the beginning? Well, the book of beginnings, we know certainly that in the creation was first two chapters, and in the third chapter, Adam and Eve made a big mistake, and Christ said he will bruise the serpent's head, and the serpent would bruise his heel, and then Christ was, so to speak, his heel, not fatal forever on the cross, but he was bruised for us. And the point is, though, that the next chapter, the first boy became the first murderer and established the first city in Genesis 4. And cities are bad today.
Yes, they are.
Hotbeds of vice, wickedness, evil. And I think that COVID, when you couldn't go to work, decentralize, we can work from the country on the computer or what, and still have a garden or farm when food is going to get scarce. I think better to be in out of the city. That was
Amen.
God. If the
Yeah.
first murderer made the first city, we should make plans to get out, in my opinion, because trouble is coming, and it's not far away. So that's one way that God declares the end from the beginning. The next picture I would take us to, besides the Tower of Babel, by the way, which represents the picture of the Tower of Babel, is the EU has chosen that. Many voices, or many nations, one voice. Okay, well, it isn't quite that way. A lot of disagreement, a lot of disunity on the devil's side, but we can be united in Christ's side. The thing that I wanted to share was interesting insight from Genesis 22 when Abraham was asked to sacrifice his son Isaac. Okay, Muslims say it was Ishmael that was to be sacrificed, and the question is which is the true holy book? Well, I believe the events unfolding in the Middle East are proving that the Bible is far ahead of the book of
The
the
Quran.
Quran, because bottom line, in that event with Abraham, Isaac had asked, "We have the fire and the wood, but where's the sacrifice?" Classic statement by Abraham that God will provide the sacrifice.
Amen.
A sacrifice. Well, he later had to explain to Isaac that Isaac was to be the sacrifice, And Isaac was a type of Christ. He was a willing sacrifice, just like Christ was a willing sacrifice. Yeah, and my, but going back to what happened, there was a ram caught in a thicket or bush. Okay, and what's happening? The Muslims celebrate that sacrifice as an example. It's the second holiest day of the year when they have a ram sacrifice. But they don't see this coming, that God sacrificed Iraq, number one, and he's going to sacrifice Iran as well. In Daniel, the 8th chapter, those two horns get broken on the ram. And interesting imagery of how God sees the end from the beginning and chooses imagery, even in Genesis 22, when there was a ram caught in a bush. George Bush caught the first ram in a bush.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
To
There you
me,
go.
oh
Amen.
God is so amazing, you know.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. And just like at the end times, the last trump will sound.
Hey, good for you. Also, by the way, in Bible times, horns were cut off to make trumpets. Okay. And
There you
in this
go.
Daniel 8
Amen.
vision, there is a great horn on the goat, and
Yeah.
it makes the goat great. In Daniel 8:8, it says that after the goat clobbers the ram, the goat becomes great. And
Yeah.
I believe it's the since the horns made trumpets, the great horn is the great trump. And
Amen.
I and the other also interesting imagery is from Daniel 8. Verse 21 says that the great horn is as the first king of Grecia, and that of course historically was he was the king of of Greece that conquered the Medes and Persians, but the verse 17 says this vision is at the time of the end, and that wasn't the time of the end with Alexander. I think
Right.
Trump is at the time of the end now, and
Yeah.
the point is that but he Alexander the Great was the king, and we might not get to November for an election. I
Yeah.
think that we could end up with big trouble. I believe that the military are going to say to Trump, "Let's get those Muslims out of Jerusalem," and I believe that it will happen. You know, but that way, even before election, possibly. Okay, just throw it out for
Okay.
interest
Yeah.
to the
Yeah.
audience
Amen.
here. Okay,
Amen.
so
Amen.
truth is stranger than fiction, and a more amazing with God.
Yeah,
One
well,
more.
that brings us to the time of impending judgment, though, right?
Yes, and okay, let's go there because we might run out of time. I don't know, but there was one more thing I was going to share from declaring the end from the beginning, and that was the fact that the Israelites did poorly, and God allowed Babylon to come and discipline them and take them.
Yeah.
But Jeremiah said, if you f stay in the city, or if you fight, you'll die. But if you go out and fall to the Chaldeans, you'll be spared. And Daniel and his friends trusted God. They went out, surrendered, you know, and were taken to Babylon. And I believe there are a lot of patriots today that are willing to fight, but they don't understand the tanks and machine guns on the other side. And I think it's going to be trouble for patriots. I did write an article some years back that said if we fight, we'll die in the coming Civil War. And I had about 15,000 views on that article.
Amen.
It was
Amen.
posted.
Amen.
Anyway, so hopefully our witness can get around. But that's the kind of the end part of how that was three ways God declares the end from the beginning. First, living in the cities with Cain, the murderer. Second, Abraham sacrificing the ram, which will include the sacrificing of Islam, because the Medes and Persians are now Iraq and Iran, and not and th this is to spare Israel. But anyway, and then the Babylon thing about not fighting, going with God and trusting what He's going to do for us. Okay, so now we come to a time of judgment impending. And I believe that it is indeed with Jerusalem, because that was his, it has the imagery of God's people in it. The truth is today, though, that the Jerusalem is not God's people. Okay, the point they One Messianic rabbi told me that 90% of the people in Israel today have no interest in their spiritual heritage. They're
That's
just
right.
there for free land.
Yep.
The UN gave it to them, and my point is that it wasn't the UN's land to give. It's God's land, and he's going to give it to Abraham's seed, and we think Jews. Okay, well, they better have a spiritual heritage and appreciation for God, and those that don't are going to get driven out or taken, I think. And secondly, Paul says in Galatians 3:29, if you are Christ's, you are Abraham's seed and
Yep,
heirs
that's right.
according to the promise. Now, this is good news for us. It takes faith for us to believe the good news, like in Noah's day. It sounds crazy what I'm going to say, but the new covenant promise in the Old Testament is linked to the people that go to that land, the land of promise. The promised land, God is going to marry the covenant-keeping people to the covenant land,
Yeah.
okay? And when you can't buy or sell or hide, and they will find you, torture you maybe even, to find out where your friends are, I don't want to be here. I
Yeah.
want to be with God. He promises to gather us. The clearest place that that your listeners in the audience can know is three dozen chapters. 3 times 12 is 36 in Ezekiel. And two dozen verses in that chapter, verse 24. So
Amen.
Ezekiel 36, verse 24 says, I'll take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all nations, whether you've been scattered, and bring you into your own land. And I'll sprinkle clean water, you'll be clean, give you a new heart, put my spirit in you, cause you to walk in my statutes and judgments, and you'll dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. I will
Amen.
be your God, etc. So that's to me, that's huge, and it's just four verses of three of Ezekiel 36, that's three dozen, and verse 24 to 28. So
Amen.
I that's now how do we get there? The Christ's kingdom, historically, if he declares the end from the beginning, the last 12 chapters of Genesis and the first 12 chapters of Exodus are about getting from the promised land into Egypt, and then getting them out of Egypt when things turned bad. Okay, they went in a time of famine, and pioneers came to America in a time of famine for the word of God. The papacy had banned the Bible, and you even burned heretics at the stake who didn't comply with Pope, etc. Well, it must have been bad, or they would not have been so willing to get in little boats and risk their lives at high seas and come to America, where they risked life or death with Indians and with starvation, etc. People, lots of people died, and it wasn't easy. And God declares the end, but he's made a match for America as being like Egypt in a sense when pioneers came here, and then more people came that didn't know Joseph. Pharaohs came, and laws have changed, and they're controlling everything. Freedoms are going, so it's like Egypt. Egypt enslaved Israel through their babies in the river. We've enslaved most people in alcohol, tobacco, drugs, even medical care is a form of bondage. If you have to go every month and see a doctor and get a blood test and get a prescription, and that prescription could kill you or make you sick, there it's more common than people realize. And so, bottom line, we're repeating that history. We've thrown 63 million babies in the trash, where Israel, Egypt probably threw a few hundred or thousand, in the river. So, perfect parallel if we can see it from Scripture. And God took Israel to Sinai, where he said, if you keep my covenant, you'll be a kingdom. And they said, we'll do it. Well, God got an ignorant bride, because 40 days later they worshiped a calf. Okay, and it this must not happen to Christ. And I'm seeing provision in the wedding parables that it not. And we can be the king's servants in those wedding parables, because the king makes a wedding and sends his servants. He sends his servants. He sends them to bid people to the wedding, is the idea. And if we are God's servants, we should be bidding people to a wedding and at a time of judgment. The wedding is the good news, in contrast to the bad news of impending judgment. But we need to know the bad news in order to be willing to make some changes.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're out of time with today's portion of this interview with Dr. Richard Ruling. Every time Dr. Ruling comes on, the information he gives is so spot on for everything we see happening in the news and what the Bible has to say about the day and time in which we live. And today is no exception. And I just encourage you, drop down the show notes, click the links right there. He's graciously offered the first six people that sent a donation to our ministry. He's going to allow me to send you one of his books absolutely free of charge. So drop down the show notes, click the information there, reach out to Dr. Ruling as well. He's a great guest for your podcast. But more importantly, be sure you come back for the very next episode as we'll conclude this great discussion with Dr. Richard Ruling about end time surprises. Amen. Till then, it's Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.